This is the introduction to the Sermons on Galatians by John Calvin, translated by Kathy Childress. And the introduction is written by Kathy Childress, the translator, on 1996 in July. Introduction. These sermons on the Epistle to the Galatians were first preached in the French language between 14 November 1557 and 8th of May 1558. They were preached in Geneva twice on Sundays and followed a series on 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The sermons were taken down in shorthand, transcribed, and presented to the deacons of the church by Denis Raguenier, a professional scribe hired by the French emigrants in Geneva to do this work. The deacons later had them printed, and the proceeds were used for the relief of the poor French-speaking refugees. They were printed in Geneva at the printing house of François Perrin on the first day of February, 1563. The first English translation was that of Arthur Golding, published 11 years later in 1574. The present volume is an entirely new translation of the original French edition. Calvin's style in these sermons is, for the most part, plain and unembellished. Referring to his own style in an unpublished letter, he spoke of his, quote, ordinary mode of teaching, unquote. Calvin certainly tries to ensure that his comments will be relevant to ordinary people by applying the doctrine he preached to the context of in his own day and age. In fact, these sermons represent a very fine balance of weighty doctrinal teaching and practical application. There is solid, sound instruction interspersed with illustration and application to everyday living. It will be seen that, unlike his German counterpart Martin Luther, who tended to unfold his text dogmatically and bind himself to it, Calvin frequently wanders from the text in order to answer the arguments of adversaries, always bearing in mind the possible objections of his hearers. Upon reading this volume, it will become apparent that certain themes are reinforced through repetition, giving them due emphasis and making them more memorable. Indeed, some of these themes are almost like a refrain to which Calvin returns, regardless of the text or passage under consideration. Hence, the most important subjects in this book, human depravity, justification by faith alone, law and grace, holiness, and the errors of the Church of Rome, seem to recur in almost every sermon. This reflects his very real understanding of the central truths of the gospel. Secondary truths are, of course, addressed, but not majored upon. As we read his thoughts upon these great subjects, we cannot help but be impressed by the accuracy and precision of his doctrinal understanding, whilst underpinning it all is a clear grasp of human nature, which astounds us in its depth and profundity. Some of his remarks are so penetrating that one feels them awakening the conscience and leading the soul to greater humility and deeper repentance. Such, doubtless, was his aim. I have endeavored to be very faithful to the original text, and yet have desired that this translation should be as readable and unstilted as possible for the modern reader, to ensure maximum fruitfulness and profitability in today's world. There will, of course, be places that will be considered stylistically awkward, but where possible, I have attempted to render these passages as intelligible and perspicuous as I can, without abandoning accuracy and fidelity to Calvin's original. Calvin often used long sentences with many phrases and subphrases. Most of these have been shortened to aid readability and heighten the impact of his words. In the case of a French idiom, which is not readily understood in isolation when translated literally into English, I have sought either an equivalent English idiom or a word or phrase which encapsulates the meaning of the French. However, if it is more readily comprehensible when read in context, I have translated it directly into English and left the reader to use his imagination. In the first French edition, the scripture references are placed in the margin, but for the sake of fluency and continuity, I have placed them in brackets within the text itself. I began this translation 8 years ago, having completed a BA honors degree in French in 1987 at the University of London, specializing in Renaissance French literature. In my efforts to complete this work, I am greatly indebted to my husband, Gavin Childress, who has carefully edited my work and encouraged me to persevere. I am grateful for his patience with me and also for his sacrificial, practical help. I would also like to thank my three young children, Miriam, James, and Josiah, for bearing with me whilst I have been preoccupied with this work. I am grateful to Dr. Terence Allitt, who has helped me to discover the meaning of some of the archaic idioms used in the text, and also to Dr. Richard Alderson, whose painstaking editing and proofreading has ensured even more clarity and readability in the finished version. He, along with Mr. Ian Murray and other staff at the Banner of Truth Trust, has been a source of great encouragement in recent days. Mr. Kevin Green has earned my heartfelt gratitude for applying his expertise in computer technology. Finally, I would like to thank the staff of the Evangelical Library in London for the loan of the text and for their practical help. The assistance of all these friends has been invaluable. I have learned so much about myself from this volume. Calvin exposes human nature with profound insight. Similarly, he brings this world into sharp focus and enables us to see its vanity and frivolity. However, he does not leave us to wallow in despair, but points us to the Savior of sinners, glorifying him in majestic and inspiring terms. No sinner, having read these sermons, could mistake the remedy for sin. The Lord Jesus Christ is the focal point of this book, and Calvin ensures that we have proper respect and reverence for him by describing him in all his glory, attributing all praise to him, and by affirming the need to obey his infallible word. There is judgment here, enough to make the sinner quake with fear, but then there is also mercy to warm the heart, and to lift the fainting spirit. My prayer is that you too will be led closer to Jesus Christ by a consideration of all that follows. Kathy Childress, London, July 1996.